Who's missing? Nobody. We're all good. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order at 5:02 Pacific Daylight Time. I'd like a motion to approve today's agenda, if so, anyone so inclined.
I'll move approval.
Okay, do we have a second for that?
I mean, I'll second.
By acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Public comment is available at this time from the audience, and it may be any matters not listed on the agenda that are in the public interest and within the subject matter of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda items when it comes up for discussion and or action. That being said, June 14th minutes have been circulated and published, and a motion for approval is in order. Is there such a motion?
I'll move approval.
Is there a second in that respect? I second the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Indeed, so moved. We'll move on to item V5 on the on our agenda, I should say. We have a report from Mr. Stribling, Vice President of Highmark Capital, on our performance with our investments located in the revised distribution, pages 5 through 25. Is Keith here? Chris, do you know?
He's with us.
I'm texting with him right now. He's trying to get in.
Okay, well, we'll table his performance until he gets here, and we'll move on. Are you going to do the CEO report, Chris?
Yeah.
Voila, he's here. Keith? Do we have him, Chris, or should we go on?
Bear with just for a moment.
Then I'm going to pause the recording until we get started with the report.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm looking on my phone. It's rather small. That is the retirement plan, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. All right. First page of the retirement plan. I have my printout so that I can actually see what I'm looking at. So the retirement plan at the end of the June quarter was 56% stocks, 33% fixed income, 6%, just under 6% alternatives, and 4.5% cash. It is actually quite different from that right now. But let's see, where am I? At the moment, of the alternatives, 2.5% of its REITs, which are more equity-like than traditional alternatives. And the account value was just under 4.5 million. Today it is just over 4.5 million. The performance has actually been pretty good. We'll get to that in a minute. And if you can maybe flip the page one. So just the only thing I'm going to highlight here is the bond duration. The duration of the bond portfolio has been falling over time. I have recently been trying to get it back up. It's a little bit hard because there's a lot of agency paper in there that you don't really trade. You just kind of let it mature over time. So it's aging and shortening. But I have been trying to extend duration with some treasuries in that bond portfolio just to take advantage of the higher yields that we have right now. That's a theme in the other portfolio as well. And then if you'll change the page one more. Performance has generally been pretty good. You can see Through the year-to-date period, the total portfolio net of fees up almost 8% for the six-month period, up 9.5% for the one-year period, and compounding close to 6% over long time periods. Stocks have done well. Bonds, you know, a little bit less good, but our bond portfolio has held up pretty well. In general, it was a little less volatile than the bond index. So up 2.25% for the 1 year period, whereas the index was down 60 basis points. And even in the 3 year period where the bond portfolio was negative, it was negative almost half as much as the benchmark. So the bond portfolio has done pretty well. As I said, the alternatives are primarily REITs and managed futures. And so they've done, REITs have had a kind of a rough year because they're interest rate sensitive and interest rates have gone up quite a bit. And then in general, the stocks have done pretty well. One change that I'll highlight here is in the convergence of the merger between, you know, Highmark is the investment manager of Union Bank. And of course I worked for them for 27 years. US Bank has bought Union Bank. And so by default bought Highmark. And so we are now merged in with US Bank, and the institutional clients such as yours, you know, there's a different part, the way Union Bank, we would manage both individual client accounts and institutional accounts. I skewed more toward the institutional clients. Probably 2/3 of my clients were institutional. Going forward, US Bank subsets this more, more defined. So you're either managing institutional accounts or private client accounts. So over the next 6 months, I will be moving my private client accounts over to a different portfolio manager, and your account will be going with the institutional side and with me. And that's going to an organization called PFM. So by year end, it will all be under PFM. And to be honest, I'm not even sure what PFM stands for. I probably should know that. it is a true institutional investment manager. So we're going to have more resources available for us. That's the positive in terms of, how we can manage the assets. The only negative is, and it's not really that much of a negative, but the only difference I should say is they don't allow for individual stocks. So I had to sell all the individual stocks and move them into ETFs and funds. So when you look at the statement next time, there won't be any individual stocks in them. They'll just be ETFs and mutual funds. But the asset allocation has remained roughly the same. Any questions on that before I move forward? All right. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the economy, and then we can look at the fixed income portfolio. So the economy is interesting right now in that we have on the fiscal policy side, government is spending money like crazy. We got infrastructure bill. We had extended unemployment benefits. We had money to people to stay home, paying people's rent, all kinds of stuff. Right, money everywhere. On the monetary policy side, we were ultra easy and did that for far too long, and it created an inflation problem. And so now in the past year, we've raised, the Fed had to backtrack and stop the quantitative easing and raised rates 500 basis points over a 1 year period. So they probably did 2 years of rate hikes in 1 year. Because inflation is a regressive tax, and that it really hammers the poor and the working class the most, and that's not tolerable politically, nor is it really fair. So so they have been trying to pull that back. In doing so, they inverted the yield curve, which implies a recession is coming. So far, the recession has not come, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But the other thing that it did was it put some pressure on the regional banking system. So we had three big regional banks go under. Basically what happens if you're holding fixed income securities, and particularly if you hold a lot of mortgages, mortgages, when rates go up, would go from a short duration bond to a super long duration bond. And, you know, you can feel it yourself. If you get a mortgage at 3% and mortgage rates go to 7%, you're never going to refinance that. And you're probably not going to move from your house. You're just going to pay that mortgage off over 30 years. But if mortgage rates go from 5% to 3%, you might refinance it. And all of a sudden it's a short bond. So what happened is when rates skyrocketed, mortgage rates went to 7%. All these mortgages that were done in the refi and in the housing explosion went deeply down in value. And then when people started pulling their money out of the banks needed to raise liquidity, and they did so by selling those bonds, and they sold them at a loss, and it hit their capital ratios, and they ended up going out of business. So that's kind of one of the unintended consequences of keeping rates too low for too long and then having to really spike them. It was hard for those banks to hedge that risk. And now it seems to have steadied itself. But as a result, the banking system is probably tightening lending standards and making credit less available. So we have that added to the rate hikes are implying that we will get a recession at some point in time. The other thing is, then you get into what is a recession exactly. The technical definition of a recession is 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. But the reality of it is, if it's negative 0.5% for 2 quarters in a row, yes, it was a recession, but did anyone feel it? And with the labor market as tight as it is, there's a lot of talk that, we're going to either have a soft landing or maybe the recession will be very mild and not really have a great impact. I don't think anybody really knows. One, they don't really know if we're going to have a recession. And two, they don't know if it will be mild or severe. But if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be that the labor market, finally, people start to lose jobs. And, when you start to lose jobs and you can no longer pay your mortgage and you no longer pay your mortgage, you have to blow out of your house, and then you have wealth destruction. And at this point in time, that doesn't seem to be happening. And so hopefully we'll avoid a painful recession. But also, all the first half of the rate hikes that went through the cycle really didn't affect the economy, because it was just sort of normalizing. Interest rate structure. It wasn't until the second half that it actually started to slow the economy and slow inflation. So if we're going to see something hit the economy, it's probably not until late fourth quarter, beginning of first quarter. And so that's kind of the time period that we'll be looking for it. But as at the moment, the stock market certainly believes that it's going to be a soft landing. And of course, the stock market's also excited about AI. So those two things have charged the market back to really close to their highs. So just in terms of other items, I would just say, the risks are that the Fed makes another policy mistake or inflation reaccelerates and they have to jack up rates and really do crush the economy. If that happens, that, things are not priced for that. And then also, of course, China and Russia, basically China's slowing, where, there's a lot of supply chains moving, kind of diversifying out of China because of all that's going on there. So that's slowing China's economy. On top of it, China's aging population is slowing the economy. And of course, the saber rattling over Taiwan is you know, impossible to forecast. And then, of course, whatever happens with the Russia-Ukraine situation is impossible to forecast as well. So we don't really invest on those things. We just kind of make note of them. Any questions on that before I move to the other portfolio? All right, you want to flip a couple pages in? Go to the asset allocation page in there for the fixed income portfolio. Yeah, there you go. Didn't go.
Page, this is the holdings and yield and income.
Yeah, can you go a little bit further, I think? One more.
Fixed income management, okay.
Yeah. Here we go. Great. So this is the treasury portfolio. It was $65 million at the end of the quarter, 2.5% cash, 97% invested. It is currently a little over $65,400,000, less than 1% in money market fund, as I have continued to basically try and extend duration and buy further out bonds to lock in the higher yields that we have. If you look at the bar chart under annual allocation, the blue and gray, if you look at the bottom of that, you'll see 2020 and 2021, we were as high as about 20% money market fund at that time. So interest rates, of course, were like zero, basically. So there's no real point in buying treasuries at 0% interest rate, you know. So I tried to limit, I was carrying more cash at that time. And then into 2022 and 2023, when rates finally started going up, I invested the cash to try to take advantage of the rising interest rates. If you'll change to one more page. So here you can see along the top row, the duration, which is, you know, the interest rate sensitivity, interest rate risk was 1.9 years. It's trended, got as low as 1.5 years in 2020. We were carrying a lot of cash then. In 2021, 1.7 years, but then I started trying to extend duration. Part of it is swimming upstream because the maturing of the portfolio shortens the duration. But at the same time, all the bonds I've been buying are further out. And if you'll see down there at the bottom, in the middle, the yield to maturity, in that time period of 2021 and 2022, when we were carrying 20% in money market fund because the yields were basically zero, you can see the yield to maturity of the portfolio was basically zero, 16 basis points and 22 basis points. Now the yield to maturity of the portfolio is 5%. I will probably, it probably won't end up being 5%, even if I let everything mature, because I'll be trying to push out the duration further, but just to hold on to those yields, because the last thing you want to do is be too far on the short end of the yield curve where the yields are higher. But then if we go into recession, or if inflation gets under control and the Fed starts lowering interest rates, then you have interest rate risk or reinvestment risk when those bonds mature. So I'm going to try and keep pushing out the duration a bit. If you'll flip the page one more. All right, so in here, all I'm gonna say is, returns for this year to date are, it's up 1.16%, 1 year up 50 basis points, generally up about 1% over longer time periods. The 3 year time period, negative. I will say we really didn't have to suffer too much pain to get the needed reset in yields. So I'm actually pretty happy about that. Currently the portfolio is 10% in 0 to 1 year paper, 75% in 1 to 3 year paper, and 15% in 3 to 5 year paper. So told you, I'm actively trying to extend the duration to lock in the higher yields. The first step was investing all the cash in the money market fund, which has already been done. The second step was rolling bond maturities as bonds mature, rolling out the maturity, you know, buying further out bonds. So rolling out your maturities. And I've pretty much done as much of that as I can. There isn't too much maturing right now. So the last step will be, which I have started doing, which is selling near dated bonds, which will have a higher coupon on them, but buying further out bonds, which the coupon's lower, but you're locking it in for a longer time. So you don't, as I said, get caught if the Fed has to lower interest rates for some reason, you don't get caught with reinvestment risk. So that's kind of where that process stands and that portfolio is. And that's all I have that's, you know, to discuss. I'm glad to answer any questions anybody has. And otherwise, I'll yield back to you.
Well, I have a question. When's your audition for Bloomberg?
What's that?
When's your audition for Bloomberg? Nice job. Very nice job.
Thank you. They haven't called me, unfortunately.
their loss.
Yeah. Appreciate that. All right. If there's no further questions, you know, Chris always knows where to reach me. And as in, he's got my cell phone number. So if anybody has any questions later and you want to ask, either you can send me an email and or you can, you know, just call me and I'm glad to answer it.
Keith, I have one additional request.
Yep.
We ended up having our finance committee meeting a week later than normal, which means that our board meeting is next Tuesday, which we have to publish our packet tomorrow. And mm-hmm. I know it's short turnaround. I know you normally do a bit of a write-up summary for the board members.
Yep.
Is that possible to be able to get that from you tomorrow or by tomorrow?
I think I can probably do it.
All right. I appreciate your help with that.
Yeah. If you don't hear from me, send me a reminder email. That just means I got preoccupied.
All right. If I don't hear from you by noon, I'll shoot you a message.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your presentation.
Thank you.
Yep. It's nice to talk to everybody. Maybe we'll do this in person one day.
That day will come, probably.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right, Chris, do you want to go ahead and do the CEO and the COO reports at the same time?
Sure.
Six and seven, please.
Yep, be happy to. So the CEO report is an informational item regarding the staff is working on a feasibility study or doing a contract with an organization called Partners in Medical Education to perform a feasibility study to see about a primary care residency program, expanding that since there's so much need for primary care services in the district. So that may be forthcoming, an actual contract for our board on Tuesday night. At least that's what's being worked on. So just wanted to bring that to your attention if there's any questions or concerns.
I have a question. Mr. Chair, may I speak?
Please go ahead.
Okay. So Chris, I'm in support of this concept, but I'm just wondering about taking it to the board next week. Is there a reason for the rush to go to the board instead of having it, having the proposal more vetted through a committee beforehand?
I can only assume that Colorado was looking to, since August is a dark month, that we would be September before, you know, and I think it'd be nice if we could have reviewed it at today's meeting, but it wasn't available. So the option is to wait until September to do the proper vetting. So whether we, it can still be decided if we're going to present it at this month's board meeting or not. I have not heard from Colorado if we actually have the agreement and proposal from the organization. So we're you know, planning to publish packet tomorrow or Friday at the latest. So I'll check with Conrado, see if he's still intending to.
You know, I think this raises, this is, Letty, I think your question is very consistent with a concern I have about two things, but A, rushing things to the board, and B, having things come to the board that have not been thoroughly evaluated by a committee or a group of committees, whether it's the policy committee or the planning committee and our committee. And I think at some point later on in the discussion, in item number 9, that's where my concern of identical to yours would have surfaced. So I just want to share the same concern you have about rushing agendas, especially big money items through the process. It's too easy to make a mistake.
Well, in this case, we don't even know what the dollar amount is. So,
right.
Yeah. And you're saying that you're waiting and you're running up against a deadline for noticing requirements. It seems like it's too much of a rush. And if there's no urgency, then I think we should just wait until September.
I would tend to agree with you completely. Thank you very much for your comment. Any other comments related to item 5, folks? If not,
I will pass this information on to Conrado if he's checking messages, and if it should for some reason be an urgency at a later date, we could do a special meeting for it. But
okay,
was better.
Hard to believe that it would be soup. Okay, fair enough. As it relates to the Chief Operating Officer report, the leasing update.
Okay. So we're starting staff has been working on year-end work, mostly Eric at this point. But we do have the auditors coming in beginning July 31st, so a little less than 2 weeks, regarding the Las Palmas Medical Plaza. We are finally into the final wrap-up of the fire sprinkler project that we've had going on there. We've had some challenges getting fire inspections completed and working around tenant schedules, et cetera. But we do have the fire marshal's inspection approval. We just need to follow up with another couple of inspections, including Chris Mills, our architect, and then we should be wrapping up that work finally. It's been like a 2-year project. And as far as the vacancies, we have 2 suites available that we're working on. And our broker, Rob Wendhold, is continually presenting possible tenants for us.
The annual rent, is that net operating income to us, or do you have expenses against that?
That's the total rent, no expenses against it. Total rent, including CAMs for the year.
So that's net operating income to us. That's positive to us, 1.4?
Yeah, it's not net, though. It's the total revenue.
And what are the expenses against that?
Typically, we have about $200,000-$250,000 of net.
Okay. So it's a very strong contributor to our bottom line, 1.2, 1.1. Excellent. Any questions about where we stand? Oh, by the way, are the 2 suites that are being discussed now by Rob, does that bring us back up to 100%? Should they get leased?
If those are leased and we don't lose any others in the process, yes, it would be.
Yeah, we're back to 100%. Excellent. Any questions?
Just to confirm that $200,000 to $250,000 is the net income after expenses.
$250,000 is the net income.
Correct.
Okay. Not 1.2. Okay. $250,000. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Any other questions about Las Palmas, ladies? If not, I'm sorry. We okay to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Uh, Okay, let's look at the financial reports. And I think the easiest way to do that is to go to page 31. If you can get us there, Andrea. Yeah, excellent. The bottom line is we were $3 million to the good caused by a real spike in revenues. Again, that's basically a function of revenues that come in related to property taxes, if I'm correct. Is that true, Chris, basically?
Yeah, that's the majority of it, yes.
And we did well on the expense side, keeping our expenses down. So we have an excess, a surplus of $3 million that just goes into our equity. We don't use that for new projects. Am I correct? We just literally transfer it to the balance sheet and leave it alone.
Yeah, it's equity.
It's equity. Yeah,
our equity status, and it's not all directly related to cash. However, we've had significant cash increase in our investment account over the last year. So as we just saw, our investment account was $65 million. And I believe last year we were at around $62
million. Yeah, excellent. And by the way, Keith, you know, just to comment on Keith's job performance, given that he's not here, it's clear to me, at least, he's done extremely good job having us avoid getting damaged by the roller coaster of the economy. It's clear from all the things he described in his strategy and the way he's positioning us with a forward-looking view of potential risks was just an excellent, really did an excellent job. Really, I just want to let the record reflect that, in my opinion. Okay. In terms of looking at the financial reports, does anybody have any concerns or questions related to the accounts receivable, page 41, the deposits or the property taxes on 42 through
43? Oh, I had a question. You were going a little bit too fast for me. back on page 33.
Sure, go ahead.
The insurance, Chris, I just wanted to just confirm my suspicion that it's just that insurance rates are going up. Is that pretty much that big increase from page 30?
Yeah, I mean, the insurance costs have, gone up fairly significantly over the last couple of years.
Okay. And have you thought about just looking at other alternative for brokers, or is that?
I've considered it, although SDRMA, specializes with the special districts, and typically we get good rates and coverage because of that. But that doesn't mean can't test the waters and see what else is available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be. I also looked and I stayed with the same one, but I did look.
Who do you have, if I may ask?
Desert Cornerstone, and they do a lot of they handle a lot of different insurances. But I next year I'm going to look at Cal Nonprofits. They have insurance rates as well, insurance that they do policies for. So. Okay. But I didn't have enough time to explore it thoroughly, so I just went with the same one. But they're pretty good. They're very customer service oriented. Okay. My next one is page 44. Page 44. What's page 44? Sorry, I just make notes when I do this, so I don't.
That's tax receipts.
No. okay. Well, page 44 was just the. That contract. Okay, so that's, I think I'm done with my financial stuff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on the deposits, the check register?
Oh, I had a question on the check register. That was page 54.
Go ahead.
Is that
54? Well, we're not there yet.
There yet, huh? I thought it was a check register, but
no, 54. Right. No, 54 is no, it's not the check register.
Okay.
Very good. Check register is 48 to 50.
And the page numberings are a little bit off because we did have the we sent two updated packets today. One, the investment reports, the summary on that was off. Thank you, Director DeLara, for pointing that out. For whatever reason, it had an old summary in there. So if you're looking at that one, the page numbering is different from the latest.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Around 4 o'clock. So apologies for that numbering snafu, but what is it you were looking at?
Well, I was just wondering on the account number 6122, the purchases of toys for the Galilee. I am a big supporter of Galilee and the need to have toys for kids, but is that something that we're going to be doing? I think it's just purchased last month, I think. Is that something that we do on a regular basis? Is that part of a grant or are we doing that?
I think it was more of a one-time situation. However, Alejandro may have, if you have different information on that, but I believe it was a one-time type of situation.
It was. Yeah, and that was derived from just visiting the children there at the hotel where they reside for the long-term asylum seekers, and looking at the kids, you know, playing with dirt and not having any kind of socializing activities. So now with the toys, we're getting really good feedback from the Galilee Center staff, great pictures. It was even covered on the front page of the LA Times. Martha Olvera shared that link with us, and I believe it was shared with the board as well, of how, you know, three children that none of them spoke the same language. It was a child from African descent, a child from Middle Eastern descent, and a Latino child. They couldn't communicate with each other, but they could communicate through the language of soccer. And they're playing. So it was very, very nice to read and see in person how appreciative they are for the toys. We just try to give them a normal life there as they're staying there at the long-term shelter with the Galilee Center.
So yeah. Do they get to keep the toys or do they stay with the Galilee?
There are some toys that they get to keep. We did buy some dolls and some activity books for the kids. But there are some toys that are the community toys. So there are some bikes, some soccer balls, basketballs. We bought them a basketball hoop. Connect Four. Okay. So there's toys for the children to keep, but then also there's some community toys that everybody shares.
Good. I'm glad about the, of course, for both of them, but especially for the ones that, because I know that many families just stay there for a few days, and I would like to know that there's some toys that stay there so that they can be shared with people that are just there for a short time. But okay, thank you for that report, Alejandro.
Yeah, it's interesting because I made a note in my notes about whether or not we need a policy. You know, I guess I was asking the same question, Letty. Do we need a policy about this? If it's a one-time, if it's a one-off thing, then I don't think we need to worry about it. But if the intent is to formalize this, then I suspect then at some point we need to consider a policy that talks about that kind of process. And I'm all for it. I mean, it's a good thing. Anytime you can get kids playing with each other, you're really going to the heart of human relations, in my opinion. But I just made a comment about that as well. Thank you. Yeah. We jumped ahead, you know, because
I was just curious that I made about the bus passes. I thought the sponsors for the asylum seekers paid for the transportation for them to get to wherever they're supposed to be going.
No, the bus passes are for the city. So when they're here in the Coachella Valley, Donna.
Oh, okay, okay.
So a lot of them do not have transportation and they do have like a small fridge. Yeah.
So maybe that should be highlighted because otherwise if other people may think it's the same thing, like sponsors usually pay for the asylum seekers if they're going out of the valley to somewhere.
Yeah, no, those are just for here in the city.
That's good. Oh, okay.
Or in the valley, I should say. Because yeah, and some of them, we were thinking about buying them bikes so they could go buy the groceries.
Oh my God, you know, 115 degree heat.
Yeah, exactly. And then the liability concern was also raised. So
oh, yeah.
we opted for bus passes.
Riding on that 86. Oh my God, forget it.
Yeah, it's no fun, but luckily there is a bus stop right in front of the shelter there. So it does have a good connections to other routes throughout the Coachella Valley, and some of them have gained employment, especially those that are staying more than 30 days.
Okay.
So it's important for them to be able to get to some work. Yeah. So we bought, I believe there were monthly passes and also single day passes for those individuals that were just staying in the shelter for a couple of days and did not need a whole monthly pass.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I happen to be working off the old paging scheme. So if we can move on to, unless there's some reason to not do so, to the credit card report detail of expenditures. I have it on pages 51 and 52 in the old section. I have some issues, but I invite other input from other people if there is any. Okay, well, the first question I have, Chris, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, and I wouldn't, is why are we going off-site for training sessions at Fantasy Springs, for example, when we have our own conference room and our own ability to do that? And again, every one of my questions tonight, at least, are really being asked through the eyeballs of our constituents. And I'm anticipating this question from a constituent. Why do we go off campus when we have our own capability, if you know?
I'm just answering, not knowing exactly what our CEO's thoughts were with it, but my belief is probably to be in a setting that's a little larger and more, I guess, comfortable to engage with the consultant that we were working with on the Activate Inclusion work that we were doing.
Okay, thank you. The other issue, and I just want to bring it to the committee's attention, is that in discussions with Jeff Scott, there were some concerns that he raised about the NALO conference in terms of its, not in terms of the organism, well, in terms of the legality of it. So I would anticipate him having some input at some point as to whether or not we as a 501c3 can participate or finance that kind of an agenda. I don't have anything to say other than to report a concern that was raised by someone with Mr. Scott.
For sure. I will add that that conference had a huge health nexus, which is in conjunction with our policy for conferences.
Okay, well, according to Mr. Scott, he would disagree with you, but anyway, he'll reconcile that question, Andrea. So it's not something we need to talk about. I just bring it up for informational purposes. Are there any other questions related to the check register? If not, let's move on to the credit card detail report. And if anybody has any concerns, I will defer to them because I have some issues that I'd like to raise here. If not hearing any, in evaluating this report, there are, I think, four trips that Conrado made outside of, to various meetings. And talking to Yvette about this today, she was not involved in authorizing or approving this. And apparently that raises the question as to whether or not we need to have a policy about how the authorization for external meetings are authorized. In my experience, that's always done through a board leadership position. And I would strongly recommend that it be done by the president. I mean, that would be the person most likely, in my opinion, to have that interaction, as opposed to what appears to be our situation today, where we have no policy. So I'm raising the subject in order to bring it out as an, not as an agenda item, but to refer it to the policy committee. I don't know how you do that because I don't have enough experience. Letty, how do we get this over to the policy committee to review this? By just, what's the mechanics of how that's done?
I think I would ask Chris that. Chris, how would you propose that we do it? Would it come to the board or from a committee request to another committee?
I would think that it would be a direction from the board to then propose to the policy committee to address that.
So we bring it to the board?
Is that way it's coming from the entire board, if there's a direction to staff to do that.
What do we have to do then? We have to bring it to the board.
Yeah, so I would during the board meeting, you know, just doing what you're doing now, just ask if there's a consensus of the board to entertain a policy for this.
So if I understand what you're saying is during my report, I should just do what I just did to get it onto into discussion mode.
What I would recommend. Then that way it's the full board that's hearing it.
Right.
And then they can give consent. The full board can give consent, or the majority of the board give consent to direct staff to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very
much. Excuse me. I have a question though. Are we referring to taking this to the policy committee to update the current policy that we have related to conferences, seminars, and memberships?
Do we have a policy that requires authorization by a board member?
Not authorization by a board member, but we have a policy that outlines conferences, memberships, trainings, and reimbursements.
Okay, well then I'm being very specific to the issue of the decision to go to these conferences has to be approved by, my recommendation would be the president. So if that's not in the board policy, if that's not in the policy, then it's just a modification to the policy, Andrew.
That's what I'm asking,
If there is such a policy that addresses external meetings, but it's silent on the question of how the approval process is discharged, then that's what I would like our colleagues on the board to decide, to discuss, and or send it on to the policy committee for further detail.
And maybe it'd be a good idea if you reviewed the policy before you actually can speak to it.
Yeah, exactly. But it needs to be looked at. It's just that simple. That's all I'm saying. That's really all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And let's see, is there any other questions regarding the credit card report? Any other questions regarding the check register? Andrea, I had one question. I saw a charge for $532 for food for one of our board meetings. Was that an extraordinary? Yvette thought that was a norm. I spoke to her again about that. She thought that was normal. What's your take on that?
We try to keep the expenses below 500. Some of them are between 300 to 500.
Okay, so that's normal. So that order of magnitude is normal, is what you're saying.
We try not to go above $500, but as you know, with inflation and different restaurants, costs have increased.
Yeah.
Unless you require Big Macs and rent trucks.
Again, I'm looking at that through the eyeballs of our constituents and anticipating a question in that respect. All right. Thank you very much.
But I understand. But again, we try to keep it below 500. And if there's anything that I feel, and Chris can attest to this, that may be a little bit over, then I try to get approval and they'll tell me to try to shorten
it. Excellent. Okay. At least we have, at least we're aware of the issue and we're taking steps to move in that direction.
We're trying to be economical, but we also, want to make sure that the board has bellies that are satisfied to get us through the board meetings.
I mean, get everybody to fall asleep. That's what you're saying in code. Okay.
I didn't say that.
Okay. Is there anything else in the financial reports that needs any discussion at all?
And again, these are preliminary, subject to the final audit reviews and that. So that's why you'll see preliminary on several of them.
Right. Right. By the way, let me ask you a question, Chris. Has everybody been interviewed on the finance committee, been interviewed by the auditors, or was it just me?
It's typically just you as the chair.
Just me. Okay. All right. Moving on to item 9, if everyone's comfortable with that. The first item, 9-1, is a resolution to increase our...
Excuse me, if we're done with the financials, then they do the preliminary June financials.
Oh yeah, we need a motion. Is there a motion to approve the financials consistent with our discussions about policies and other issues that were brought to the attention of the committee? Is there such a motion?
I'll move approval.
Is there a second to that?
Amina, I'll second.
All by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much. That motion is moved forward. Now, item 9, the first item is a resolution to increase the director stipend by $5.49. I understand that's consistent with a policy. So this is more of a pro forma issue. Is there any discussion that goes to this question? If not, is there a motion on the floor to accept this and move it forward to the to the full board?
I have just one question. Is the increase in the budget?
Yes.
It is.
Okay, then yes, I'll move approval.
Is there a second to this issue?
Amina, I'll second.
All by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, thank you very much. Now, item 2 is a request to expand the consulting services to activate, which is to include, to extend the diversity, equity, and inclusion training, not to exceed $42,000. Any questions or comments about this?
I do have a question about this. Has this been, it's coming to us for the financial part. I'm wondering, should it go to the strategic planning to see how that's coming in line? Or maybe, would it be board communications, maybe? I'm just wondering to look at the... Not looking at the dollar amount, but whether there's
the process.
Yeah, well, at the content, I know that we were all very supportive of the. We were very pleased by the presentation when we had the first and second one, and that I think that might have been the reason why it's moving forward. But is that enough just to say, oh, we all liked it, or there were certain things that we liked about it? Do we want to ensure that the agreement is taken into account any potential input that board members would have like to have, or just to vet the agreement beforehand? So is there an urgency to have it go to the board this time, this month, Chris, or would there be an opportunity for this to be reviewed by the appropriate committee, whether it's us?
I don't know our CEO's intention on it, to if there's an urgency or not. I'm assuming that he's just expecting, since the next meetings would be September, that he wants to keep the flow going.
Yeah.
However, the discussion of the context of the engagement, I don't know if there's been any communication with directors regarding the context or.
Well, that raises a very, given your question, Letty, and I have the same issue on some of the other items yet to come. I think we need to have some real clarification about how, a checklist of all the places an action item needs to go to in order to have to be able to say all the boxes were checked off. What you're saying is, you, as you sit here today, you don't, there's certain things you don't know that you should know and want to know. And I agree. And I agree. And we don't know that because we don't have a checklist. We don't have, we just don't know. And we're being asked to approve something. And therefore, my suggestion on this and some other items is to modify them from action items to informational items for review at the board level. Because
I think we talked about at a recent meeting about having the board meetings be more efficient. And by doing that, then items get vetted at the committee level so that there's an opportunity for board members to ask questions. And this particular one, I feel like if we're being asked to serve the role that another committee has been given that responsibility, that this is more of a financial oversight. And and DEI training with board members, I think that's kind of more like a board communications staff, that committee. And so I was questioning whether there's a need to rush. If not, then just to give an opportunity for that committee, whether it's that committee or strategic planning, but I think it's probably, now that I think about it, maybe the communications committee.
What I hear you saying is you don't know whether or not the things that were supposed to be done to make the board meetings more efficient were actually done, yet you're being asked to make a decision about allocation of money. And that's exactly what I'm saying, the same thing you are in slightly different words. That when something comes to any committee, they should know what any and all other committees that have a component responsibility in that issue have or haven't done, so that when it does come to the board, Conrado can say all the boxes were checked off. Right now, you're saying you don't know. I'm saying, and I agree with you, you don't know. I don't know if the other committees that were supposed to work on it did or didn't do it. That's exactly the point. Imagine that, Letty, we're in agreement. No, you see, we're saying the same thing. We're saying exactly the same thing. And that's my concern about this and some of the other items in this area. And not to slow down the process on the one hand. On the other hand, rushing at spending money is not necessarily a wise process if it's incomplete. So I don't know how to move this question forward. I don't know how to deal with this question. Chris, do you have any thoughts at all?
Well, I guess first and foremost, how do you, is there a motion on the action itself? And if to me, it almost sounds like there should be a proposed action from what I'm hearing to either table this to a later date and have, more work done on it by other committees? And I mean, does there need to be, and I know we're trying to keep the board meetings shorter, but sometimes, you know, it's the only venue, at least to get the direction from the entire board, that if the context of the work that, you know, staff is working on to engage other firms to work with us, then, you know, that context needs to be, in my opinion, agreed to by the board. But coming through the committee levels is definitely a great way to do it. But determining which committees, you know, should be doing it before we get it completely to the board, there's got to be some understanding of that. And I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if it's the CEO talking directly with the board president and, you know, getting some understanding of what committees should be seeing this in addition to the finance committee, because the finance committee obviously would be looking at the dollar component of it, but the context of it,
right?
I don't disagree, shouldn't be looked at by the staff and board communications.
Okay. So my question to you is, would it make more sense to table the issue for further clarification, or should we make it an informational item and then let the board discuss it for a bit? And what would you suggest?
Since it's an action item, I think you need to make an action of it to either table it or vote yay or nay on it.
Okay, so we have to vote on whether it's an action item, and then if it were to be defeated, then we could then make another motion to give it some direction. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, or you, I think you could say that you want to table it and then give some instruction as to what you think should be done.
Okay. I will make a motion that that we let it go to the board, but that it be a recommendation to the board to assign it to the communications committee. And that way, if the board decides that they don't like that, that they feel that there's enough information, or if the CEO tells us at that time that there's an urgency, that we can then disagree with the motion, with this committee's recommendation, and propose a different action.
I'll second that motion. Is there any discussion on the floor, Carmina? Any thoughts that need to be included, or?
No, I don't. Other than I see this as a professional development project.
Okay, so the board, that'll all be decided at the board based on our recommendation. If that's the case, I'll call the question. All in favor of Letty's motion, by say aye.
Aye.
By acclamation, we've referred this to the board for further clarification.
And just for clarity, Chair Shore and Director DeLauro and Vice President Zavala, we will not include this in the consent agenda. We will actually list it as a line item under the F&A committee.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, item number three, the mobile specialty unit. This has raised a very serious concern on my part, but again, I'll reserve my thoughts unless someone has any issues that need to be discussed before I describe my concerns here.
I have questions.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. So from what I read, it would cost the amount that's stated on here, the 137, that's for the trailer fully equipped?
That's just for the trailer unit.
Okay, so Alejandro, equipped. Is that correct?
It is for the trailer unit that is equipped with all the medical equipment. Yes.
That's a very low price compared to, I guess, with increasing costs and everything. So that's a really good deal. And I know that it was mentioned in there that the resource district is going to be meeting, I think, today. Any word on whether they made a decision on funding for additional funding for this? You haven't heard?
No, we haven't heard, but Conrado and myself will be presenting to their board at their August meeting.
Oh, August.
Yeah, in August. But we did receive, right, guidance from two board members, the board president and the board vice president. They're the ones that are going to be bringing this up to their board, to the full board, mm-hmm, for approval. So,
okay, yeah, very good.
We're very confident that we are going to get right around the same amount of money that we received the last time, which was $175,000.
Okay, well, that's very good news, especially I think it's, if you guys go in person, it might be much stronger, compelling case. My next question is on page 70. There was that the agreement was, page 70, this is an old page 70. So it mentions on here that the next page, I think, something about Arizona, that we're going with the Arizona rules, but that's just for the purchase of it, right? We're still held liable for any registration fees that are California and so forth.
We will. And Chris just completed the process for our first mobile unit, but we did have to pay taxes, and we did have to register the vehicle here in the California DMV. Mm-hmm. So if you purchase it in Arizona, the California taxes do apply because the vehicle will be registered in California and operated in California.
And there was a date of July 19th on that contract. That would have to be changed because it wouldn't be based on today's action. It would be based on the board's action.
Right? Correct.
Alejandro, is this a used, new or a used unit?
It is brand spanking new. It's sitting in the lot waiting for us to do a visual inspection. So I plan to fly to Phoenix to do the visual inspection, just like we did with the first mobile unit, to ensure that we know how to operate all the bells and whistles and all the features that are included as part of the unit. And then sign off on that, obviously pending board approval.
Okay.
My final question was actually on that, on the last page where the signatures are, and it says on number 9, this agreement shall be governed by the laws of the state of Arizona. So it's the laws of the state of Arizona and California, right? Because are they, wouldn't it also be
our laws as well? It's just the contract that is applicable to the laws of the state of California, not the vehicle operations.
But this agreement is referencing this agreement. So is it, if our attorney says it's fine, then that's fine. I was just
actually went through this with the original contract on the first mobile unit.
Okay.
Our legal counsel had actually preferred to change it to California. The manufacturer would not do that based on, their requirements of being in Arizona. And our legal counsel has reviewed this document.
Okay, very good. Thank you for addressing that, Chris.
And also, I just wanted to point out that we were talking about the cost of it, that this is just the trailer. So we would need to purchase a pickup too in the neighborhood of $60,000. So we're talking, in the neighborhood of $200,000 for this one versus the $167,000, I think it is, for the
trailer. All right. I'd like to discuss this from a slightly different perspective. At our last board meeting, I'm looking at, and I have it, I'll be happy to read it to everyone. I have the motion that was made by Director Zendel, seconded by Rogers, and it says to approve rolling over the $395,000 plus to the next fiscal year. And then it goes on to say, direct the staff to provide as soon as possible the specifics for a proposal to proceed with the acquisition of another unit. Now, it's my understanding that the intent of that, and please help me or correct me if I'm mistaken, is that the whole purpose of that motion with its amendment was to stimulate debate about the question, not necessarily to entertain the purchase immediately of another unit. And I just want to make sure that we're not crossing over that motion, and that the real issue of the submission to the committee is for debate purposes, not for the necessarily for purchasing another unit at the next meeting. And I'd welcome your thoughts and reactions to that, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll let Carmina go first.
So from my understanding, that'll be brought over to the board meeting next week for discussion. And I'm good with that. I think that we can entertain that there.
I'm sorry, the conclusion you reached is what?
I said we can bring it to the board for discussion and debate. I don't think we're making a decision at this time, from my understanding.
You don't think we're going to make a decision at this time? That was
at
my
moment. At this moment, we're not making a decision, from my understanding.
This is actually an action item to approve the acquisition.
That's the point. That's the whole point of my concern. If we pass it forward as a, as an approval, we're saying we want the board to buy it.
Okay, so my understanding is for the board to review and for discussion next.
Just for discussion, for discussion purposes. That's right. Yeah, that was my understanding, and I think it's the understanding of Dr. Zendel, because I spoke to him about it. And therefore, I'm a little concerned about how we move this agenda item forward for discussion without imposing a buy recommendation on it. Do we again have to decline the action item as listed and then replace it with a secondary level motion, Chris? How do you think we should proceed here?
So I think you can give vote for kind of similar to what Director Galara did earlier, to forward to the board for further discussion.
Further discussion as opposed to further approval.
So the discussion, and
it could be put on the agenda as an action item, but it's not an approved action from the finance committee, but it could be forwarded to the board for consideration of approval, but without a recommendation.
This, if I'm interject, this is the same process that we did with the first mobile unit. The first step was purchasing the mobile unit, and then the second step was actually doing the RFP where with the detailed plan with where we allocated $500,000 for 3 years for DPMG for the operations of it. And that was my understanding that the board wanted a more detailed plan of the operations, and that would come once we have the mobile unit purchased, and then we reach back to DPMG Health to get that plan of how they plan on what they plan to do with the second mobile unit, what is going to be the times of operation, where they're going to take it to. So this is the same process that we did last time. The first step was two parts. The first part was to purchase the mobile unit, and then the second part was to find the operator, which we did through an RFP, where DPMG Health was awarded that RFP, where that we brought back to the full board to approve a $500,000 operating budget for 3 years for DPMG Health to run the medical mobile unit. So all we're asking with this is the okay from the board to move forward with the purchase of the medical mobile unit. The second step, which will be brought to the board, will be that operational plan that I believe everybody here would like to see and have discussion on.
Alejandro, I appreciate that, but we standing in front of us is a motion at the board level to bring the issue forward for debate, not to bring the issue forward for approval. So, even though we did it one way last time, unless this motion is to be ignored or reinterpreted, I would have to agree with Director Zavala that the issue here is not to make a commitment to the money, to the item, but rather bring it forward as the foundation for having a debate on the subject. For example, there's a lot of differences. Here we're talking about a non-motorized vehicle with a trailer, with all sorts of other ramifications, as opposed to having a self-contained unit, number one. Number two, are there other alternatives that need to be considered in terms of the purchase? There's an inference in this proposal about the need to do this immediately, that this we can't possibly delay this because any delay would cause untold harm to people, which could be rationalized in any one of our proposals. So notwithstanding how we did it in the past, I would have to agree with Dr. Zavala that the real issue is to bring it to the board for further discussion and invite you and Conrado not to focus on Part B, but rather focus on Part A and why this is the appropriate unit, why the metrics are right, why the mechanics are right, and then let the board decide how best it wants to proceed. I mean, that's my conclusion based on what I read, and I'm hearing Dr. Zavala agree with me in this respect.
Correct. And that process of, correct me if I'm wrong, that process has been done. We went with this trailer because it's ready to purchase. If we would opt for another motorized unit like the one we purchased originally, we would have to wait upwards to 9 months to have that delivered to us. And as Dr. Tae Kim presented and spoke about at our last previous board meeting, there is a sense of urgency. Right now, the mobile unit is operating 5 to 6 times a week. That we do have some partnerships that are waiting for the second mobile unit for it to be deployed. And that's why we have this item in front of you, so we could move forward with the purchase of this unit that is already built. It's customized. It's a, as you can see there in the floor plan, it has a lot of storage in it because they want to roll out that pharmacy on wheels, which they spoke about at the last board meeting. So that was the sense of urgency of why we wanted to move this forward with FNA approval and hopefully with board approval.
So I would, and I understand what the board made this decision on last time. And my understanding was that we are voting to not obligate the dollars at that time. So now staff is coming back to us with a proposal. And what I would like to see going forward, and I will be willing to make a motion on this as soon as I explain it so I can make sure I'm taking everything into consideration, is that for it to be a two-step process that we take to the board. First step would be that the staff provide us with the information as to why they're proposing a trailer instead of a mobile unit. What was the information that has led them at this point to do it now? That because there is, it shouldn't just be that there's a 9 month wait, but because there's an urgency now and that there's a provider that's willing, that's needing, and that's already been indicated that there's a need. So for staff to give us the information so that the board can decide whether we are committed to doing this. And I'm also interested in knowing whether the provider DPMG would prefer to have a trailer being pulled rather than a mobile. I want to know that answer. So that could be like step one, and then the board take action on that item if they're okay with doing this. And then the second item being that you present this this proposal to purchase the unit for $137,850. So if the board says no to the first one, then it's a no on the second one, but we don't waste time, 2 months later to wait on the second question if we say yes to the first one.
That's my motion. And I believe those conversations happened, and those conversations did happen with DPMG Health. They're the ones that recommended. I presented both options to them when I reached out to the manufacturer. I presented the traditional unit, like the one that we purchased originally, with the time frame, and I proposed this one as well. And they, Dr. Kim and Gemma Kim, opted for this one because we could get this next week. It's ready to go. We could get it shipped out next week, and that's why they opted for this one. And they know that there is the need. The need for this one has, as you can see on the back side of it, in the graphic that's on there now, there is a ramp. They are going to have a little cart where they're all going to have the medications, where the medication is going to be uploaded and offloaded every single night to ensure that no medication is left on the trailer. Obviously, that's a big red flag. If we leave medication on there, that's obviously susceptible to break-ins. So they're going to be offloading and uploading the little medication cart every single night. And we're still going to have on the front end, there is going to be one observation room where they could provide the medical services out of. And as you can see, there has a lot of cabinet space. where they could store medication that is not controllable, like regular aspirin, those kind of items, but controlled medication like painkillers, insulin, those kind of items will be uploaded and offloaded every single night from the medical unit.
Thank you.
We've done our due diligence and spoke with them regarding the two options. And for them, they said they want to go with this one because this is ready. It's near completion. And they see the need for it now, especially with that pharmacy component that they spoke about at our last board meeting. And this is a perfect fit for them because it does have the empty space in the back, which will be the pharmacy. And then they still have the consultation room in the front.
Excuse me, Delara, I just wanted to let you know for clarity with the motion that was made. The motion was made to roll the funds over. So that was the whole, the actual action that was being done at the June meeting to roll the approval to roll over the 395 to the next fiscal year and to direct staff to provide as soon as possible the specifics for a proposal to proceed with the acquisition of another mobile unit.
Right.
So at that, so that's right. Leading that could be interpreted that the board already supports the project. And what Chairman Shore is telling us is that it's not his understanding that the board made the commitment. I agree with that. I think that there was a commitment, but to make sure that there is full board support, I think it would, and to also to credit staff for the work that they've already done, that they're moving very quickly to provide us with the information. I think that if there is board support for it, to reinstate that or to restate that as the first part of the motion, and then the second part would be to utilize staff's time that they've already put into this, that that we then consider the second part of it. So I'll make the motion.
Yeah, please make the motion. I think the way you've articulated it makes the most sense to have it in a two-phase discussion because it really reflects all the components you just described.
Thank you. Don't tell me to restate it though.
I just want to get clarity.
I dare you to restate it.
So, ahead, kiddo. So she mentioned a motion for a two-step process for staff to propose why a trailer instead of a mobile unit, information on moving forward now concerning, I guess, the rush. So
actually, and Jeff, I can correct you that the first part would be for the board to support purchasing purchase a mobile unit. That's the one thing that the board was still wanting to make sure that there is support for that. And then to explain why a mobile unit at this time, we want to do a trailer, and then to explain that. Okay, but it's really not the question is whether we want to buy a trailer, but whether we want to do a second mobile unit. That's the question.
Yeah, and by the way, I think we have a very interesting opportunity here. Eisenhower's building sites and asking people to come to the sites. We're building units and taking the medicine to the people. And ultimately, that is a material and significant difference between how we're approaching delivering care to people, especially in remote communities. It's a very significant thing. So I'm all in favor of, we're going to have more than two. I can assure you of that. But I think Letty's approach to it makes the most sense, that we do it in lockstep, and that notwithstanding perceived urgency by physicians, which is infinite on every subject and every discipline, that we move with deliberate speed and respect the fiduciary duties we have to our community. So I would second Letty's motion.
Just to be clear, though, that my motion is to bring those two steps to the next board meeting.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Absolutely. And bring it to the next board meeting and get and move the agenda as rapidly as is prudent.
Yes.
So just to clarify, as part of this action then that's going to the board, is that also going to be a request to approve the acquisition of this?
Yes, that's this number unit, two.
As long as the explanation as to why We're going to the trailer and that sort of type of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So it includes a two-step process for the board to, number one, for the board to support the mobile unit, staff to explain why a trailer instead of a second mobile unit, information on moving forward now, as opposed to in the near future, and whether the vendor prefers a trailer and presents a proposal directly to the board for the $137,000.
Yes, perfect.
Is there a second to that? I second the motion. Is there any further discussion on this matter? If not, by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, say aye. Excuse me. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
It's approved by acclamation. Okay, and we'll move the agenda item forward to the board with that, with those caveats. The last item on item nine is a commitment to a one meeting with Verilon Healthcare to update our status and compliance with our strategic plan. And it's my understanding that part of that process is the potential to reorder certain priorities, unless somebody has a different understanding of it. It's really meant to get an understanding of where we are and where we want to continue to go with whatever modifications the board deems necessary. Any other discussion related to this item?
In my motion that to support this, the only thing that I would add is that there be a strategic planning committee meeting in advance of this so that they have an opportunity to provide input to the consultants going into this, into the retreat. So.
Okay. You want to put a motion on the table?
I will do so, as stated.
You want to put an amendment to the proposal as consistent with your last comment, please?
My motion is to recommend to the board to approve with the addition of having the strategic planning committee meet in advance of the proposed retreat to provide input to the consultant.
Okay, are there any discussion about the motion as presented? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion with the modification and recommended by Director Delora, all say aye.
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 Excuse me, who seconded the motion?
Letty made the motion and I seconded the motion. Okay, all in favor. So the motion is approved as amended by Director Delora. If that's the case, is there any other business to come before this august body before we adjourn? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 9:34, and with your permission, ladies and gentlemen, move forward immediately to the agenda of the foundation. If that's okay with everybody, rather than take a break, it's a relatively short agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. I'll call the healthcare district, Desert Healthcare District Foundation meeting to at 9:35, and approve. I would receive a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
I'll second.
Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll make the
motion. Is there a second to that?
Mina, I'll second.
All in favor by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Once again, we invite public comment on the matter, limited to 3 minutes for any items that's within the purview of this committee. We cannot take any action on items not listed, and public input may be invited and solicited as we go through the agenda. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the June 14th meeting of this committee?
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
Fermina, second.
And this is all by acclamation. Say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Aye. I said aye also. Okay. Do we have a CEO report at this time, Chris, or is there anything?
No CEO report.
Okay, the financial reports are listed on pages 4 through 12. Seeing no particular issues of concern from my perspective. Does anybody have any issues they would like to raise regarding items in the financial report? Hearing none. Oh my God, how unbelievable is that? Hearing none, I would move the other matters. Are there any other matters in front of this committee that require our attention at this time? Hearing none, I would adjourn the meeting and suggest that we broke the land speed record for the foundation meeting at 9:37 p.m. Is there any other comments, good and welfare, that needs to be discussed? If not, ladies and gentlemen,
it's 6:37 p.m. here.
It's 9:37 p.m., right. I thank you very much for your attention. I thank you for your input.
Thank you.
Stay cool. By the way, you know something? What really is strange to me is that